Welcome to the Random Article Horoscope for Thursday, the 2nd of August, 2018. Beginning with Aries. Aries, on Thursday, you'll become a fashion icon. And you know, you've made some effort lately. You've been putting together some innovative outfits, I would say, but this time, your rise to fame will not be deliberate. Because you're going to go out in the morning wearing something in a way that you wouldn't ordinarily, but not by design. You will be accidentally wearing something inside out or upside down. What you thought was a hat was actually a sock. What you thought was a jacket was actually pants. You get dressed in a hurry on that day, Aries. It's all a bit of a mess, but somehow it comes together in such a way as to just work. Like, it's a bit avant-garde, it's a bit unconventional, but that's what gives you that unique composition, that unique look, which instantly gets you propelled to fashion stardom around the world. There's paparazzi going around to take photos of whatever your latest innovation is. There's all of the magazines speculating on what your next addition to your fashion oeuvre might be. And so you got to try and continue that upward trajectory with more innovative fashion mistakes. But how can you do it when the first one was a mistake? Here's the thing, Aries. I could tell you what your first famous outfit is going to be. I could tell you which garment you need to wear upside down or inside out. But if you knew that, you wouldn't wear it in quite the same way, in quite the same unself-aware confidence that you had the first time you strolled boldly out of your door with a hand-knitted sweater on your head. You couldn't replicate that in any other way. So Aries, my advice is to enjoy your first outing with this wondrous fashion design. And just avoid the paparazzi is my suggestion. Taurus, when was the last time you went to the dentist? It's been a while, right? It's been on your to-do list, or rather your list of things to put on your list of things to put on your to-do list. You've been putting off the dentist for a long time. And Taurus, on Thursday, that's gonna catch up with you. When you wake up on Thursday, there's gonna be a ringing at your doorbell. You're gonna open your door and find no person, just a small pile of teeth on your doorstep. And then you're going to go inside and decide to have some breakfast. You're going to pour some breakfast cereal into a bowl. But no delicious cornflakes will come out of your breakfast bowl, Taurus. You know what's going to come clattering into your breakfast bowl? Teeth. You're going to go off to work. You're going to open the door to your car. You're going to open the glove box. It's fucking full of teeth. You're going to drive to work. You're going to turn on your computer. Your desktop wallpaper has been replaced with teeth, photos of teeth. Every individual icon is of a tooth. Everywhere you turn, there's teeth. You stand up, go to the bathroom, come back, you find that your pockets are full of teeth. Someone's leaving teeth wherever you go. It's the dentist's, Taurus. It's the dentist's. You get a knocking on the window. You're on a fourth floor office, and you see a knocking on the window. There's a man in a white coat knocking on your window. You can't talk to him. The window doesn't open, but he's just smiling at you with wide, glassy eyes and a wide, broad smile with white, glassy teeth. It's the dentist, Taurus. Why haven't you come to the dentist, Taurus? You go home, you go to sleep, you try to just remove all of these teeth that are haunting you, that are following you all over wherever you go. You just try to sleep and dream of something other than teeth, but there's a knocking at your door. They keep knocking. They won't go away. So you stumble down in the darkness, in the bleariness. You can barely see where you are. You're dazed. Your whole day has been ridiculous with all these teeth everywhere. And you open the door, and there's that same man, that same dentist. And you say, What do you want? What do you want? What's with all the get out of my life? And then he just opens his mouth, and just teeth pour out. Just thousands of shiny white teeth pouring out of this man's mouth onto your doorstep, into your home. And you're just shouting with all the teeth clattering around your knees, What do you want from me? It's basically a protection racket. These dentists keep hassling you, and they keep coming up and saying, oh, you know, Taurus, what lovely teeth you have. What a lovely smile. Wouldn't it be such a shame if something were to happen to your lovely teeth? Wouldn't it be a damn shame if those teeth got fractured? If those teeth got little holes? What a shame a bit of plaque would be, Taurus. And they'll only go away if you pay up the protection money. The dentist is a mafia, Taurus, and you're gonna get to the bottom of it. You're gonna investigate just how deep this rabbit hole goes. You're going to go through the paperwork. You're gonna investigate these mysterious teeth demons who roam the suburbs, shaking money out of people, and you're gonna see that, incredibly, local politicians are in on this tooth game. Whole health industries, government agencies, corporations, the people who sell the toothpaste, the people who sell the toothbrushes, the people who sell the seats that the dentist seats you on, they're all involved in this vast conspiracy, this web of lies. And you're going to find who's behind it all, Taurus. You're going to find the sinister mastermind who's orchestrated this entire criminal orthodontic nightmare. You know who's behind it all? It's the fucking Tooth Fairy. The fucking Tooth Fairy is like the Tony Soprano at the top of all of this criminal activity. You're gonna come face to face with the Tooth Fairy, Taurus. All I can say is, be ready. Gemini, on Thursday the 2nd of August, you're going to wake up in a hotel. An unfamiliar hotel. You've never been here before. And you're like, did I check in here last night? Did I not remember? You thought you went to sleep in your own bed, and yet here you are in this strange place. You don't even know where you are. You have none of your belongings on you. There are no windows. You go outside the hotel room, and there's just a long hallway. Totally unremarkable. No windows, so you can't tell where you are. Just this endless hallway with hotel rooms branching off the left side of the hallway. And you step out of the hotel room and you look at the door of the hotel room you were in. And there's a number on the door. And the number happens to be your own age. The number on the door is the same number of years you've lived, Gemini. Which is odd. You walk down the hallway, and the numbers increase by one with every room. And you keep on walking, you keep on walking, and there seems to be no end to this hallway, no escape, so you figure, well, I better check out one of these rooms. I better see, I mean, maybe someone can help me understand what's going on. So you sort of wander up and down the hallway, and, you go down towards the end, towards some of the lower numbers. You go to the room marked 14. And you knock, and no one answers, but you open the door. You open the door to room 14, and inside there's a child. A young person. Who looks familiar. Strangely familiar. This person says hello, and you say hello back. And you're just struck with a sense of knowing this kid. And the person asks, what's your name? And you reply. And you ask what their name is, and they say, well, that's my name too. We've got the same name. Why does this kid have the same name as you? And then suddenly you understand. This kid is you. This is young you. This is 14-year-old you, Gemini, standing in room 14. And you say to the kid, hang on, you're such and such from such a place. And you talk about your childhood and you reminisce about all these things that you were up to when you were 14. And you're staggered by how different your concerns were and your hopes were when you were a 14-year-old. Totally shift your perspective. You're transported back to when you were 14, and you learn all these things, and you remember all these things, and the kid learns all this stuff from you, and you're not sure how much to tell them. But you go back out to the hallway eventually, and you peek through some of the other doors. You look through room 18, and you see your 18-year-old self, and 19, your 19-year-old self. So then you walk past the room that you woke up in, into some of the larger numbers, and you realize that all of these rooms contain a future version of yourself. Room 57 contains a 57-year-old you. Room 88 contains an 88-year-old version of you. You don't see how far the hallway stretches. You don't know how high those numbers get. But it does stretch on a ways. You've got 1 hour in this hotel, Gemini. You've got 1 hour to speak to your past and future selves. Which hotel rooms do you enter? Which selves do you speak to? Younger? Older? What can you learn? What can you teach? Is it gay if you make out with one of your own selves? And can you ever escape? There's no exit to this hallway, Gemini. All you can do at the end of this hour is return to the room with your age on the door and go to sleep. Cancer. Cancer. You poop wrong. Your whole technique is totally off. Who taught you how to poop, Cancer? Didn't someone like explain to you at some point in your life, this is the correct procedure to poop? This is the step by step. This is what you do. This is how you sit. This is how you wipe. This is how you do the whole, this is the whole mechanics of it. This is the philosophy behind it. Pooping, I mean, it's not complicated. It's not hard, which is why it's so surprising, Cancer, that you've been doing it wrong all this time. Cancer, what? You need to sort this out, Cancer. It might be embarrassing, but you need to come clean, so to speak, and seek some advice on correcting your proper pooping technique. That's all I got to say, Cancer. Just fix it, all right? It's just weird. Like, it's not. I don't get it, Cancer. Leo. Leo, you know that episode of Mr. Bean where Mr. Bean puts an armchair on top of his car and he rigs up these ropes and pulleys and things such that he can control his car, the pedals and the steering wheel, from the armchair on top of his car? He like pulls these ropes to turn and move the pedals and things. That's kind of like what your life is going to be, Leo, on Thursday the 2nd of August. Like, some days you're like Mr. Bean. You're perched comfortably but insecurely on the top of this car, and you're just sort of pulling these precarious ropes and levers to try and point your life in the direction that you want it to go. Most often, Leo, you are like Mr. Bean. Sometimes, Leo, other days, you're more like the car. You're like the little green beetle that is powering along the road, putting in effort and work and trying to keep your life going. But you're not really in control. You're controlled by the bean. The ropes and the bricks and the pedals and the steering wheel. You're like a puppet being controlled by some other, whether it's your boss or your family or your partner or the other people influencing your life. Sometimes you're more the car than the bean, Leo. But on Thursday the 2nd, Leo, you're not going to be like Mr. Bean or like the car. You're going to be like the armchair, Leo. You're not going to be driving anywhere. You're not going to be controlling anything. You're just going to be providing comfort to some other person. You're just going to be not even a cog in the machine, just sort of a rock on which the machine rests. You're going to be sort of set dressing, Leo. You're going to be providing comfort to someone else, and you're going to be taken along on their ride. And you know what, Leo? That's okay. That's good. You shouldn't be a chair every day, Leo. But when you're not the bean or the car, it could be nice to be the chair. Virgo. So there was this Greek who died called Tantalus. And he was a bad dude. He did something wrong. He pissed off some Greek for some reason. I don't recall. But Tantalus was considered worthy of punishment. So when Tantalus went to hell, he had a custom designed torment just for him, so that for eternity he would suffer in a way tailored to his particular crimes, which were, again, not important. But Tantalus's punishment was to stand in a shallow pool of water with a fruit tree overhanging. And Tantalus's punishment was to stand in this pool, always thirsty and always hungry, desperately thirsty, desperately hungry, when your stomach is curling up and trying to consume itself, when your mouth feels so parched just as though you can't remember the taste of water. But every time Tantalus reaches down to drink from the pool, the water level recedes just below his grasp. Or if he gets the tiniest drop of water, it slips between his fingers, and Tantalus can never satisfy his intense thirst, nor his hunger. Every time he reaches up to the fruit tree, the wind blows it just out of his reach. So his punishment is to forever almost have what he needs, but not get it. Virgo, when you die, which will be Thursday the 2nd of August, you're going to get a punishment worse than Tantalus. It's going to be quite similar. You're going to be standing in a pool with a fruit tree above you. And every time you go down to drink from the pool, you get water. And every time you reach up to the fruit tree, you get fruit. You can drink and eat as much as you need. Virgo, what the fuck else do you do? You're standing there in that pool. Sure, you're not hungry or thirsty, but there is literally nothing to do apart from drink and eat. And sure, there's pleasure in drinking and eating. Like, it's pretty nice fruit, you know? There's persimmons, there's blood oranges, there's grapes. But don't you think you'll get tired of eating persimmons, blood oranges, and grapes? Don't you think you'll get tired of drinking this same water from this same pool every day, year after year, century after century, millennia after millennia? Virgo, all I'm trying to say is, at least Tantalus had something to do. At least Tantalus had something to strive for. And to hope for. Virgo, I think you're worse off than Tantalus. If all you can do is have what you want. Libra, remember to carry the one. Life is usually built around binaries, black and white, one and zero. So, like, things like birthdays, funerals, marriages, breakups, things where a state passes from yes to no. Together, apart, alive, dead, 1-0. Those are some of the most memorable, defined moments of our lives. But it's kind of deceptive because, in reality, life is made of decimals. Most of your life isn't births, deaths, marriages, breakups. It's all the moments in between. It's all the gradients in between. It's all the halves. It's all the fractions. It's all the decimals. We remember the binary, the ones and zeros, but we live the decimals. Do you remember how to do long division, Libra? It's kind of fiddly. But you got to do it. If you want to handle all these decimals, all these fractions, it's essential that you have a grasp of long division. So remember, Libra, to carry the one. Scorpio. It's the future. Did anyone tell you? It's the future. You know what that means? Technology. There's technology everywhere. You wouldn't believe what kind of technology there is now. The other day I went on the internet and I saw a picture of a cat. And that's just the beginning of it, Scorpio. You're not gonna believe. Look, Scorpio. Biotechnology is rapidly advancing. We can create organs for people who need them. Growing cells. If you're born with a congenital defect, if you need a transplant, if you get a bit cut off in some sort of disastrous circus accident, you can get new bits made, custom, for you to be put back onto your body. Isn't that amazing? There's all sorts of possibilities raised by this technology. Here's one of them. So, you're familiar with the concept of consuming the hearts of your enemies? You can eat a person or an animal in order to gain their powers. If you eat the heart of a bear, you gain the strength of a bear. If you eat the heart of a giraffe, you gain the long neck of a giraffe. If you eat a fish, you gain the ability to breathe water. These are well-known scientific effects, Scorpio. And previously, these sorts of opportunities were open only to poachers and the rich. But with emerging biotechnology, it becomes possible for almost anybody to gain access to a heart they desire. If you want to eat a buffalo heart to give you strength, just get it printed. They've got some buffalo DNA on file. You can get whatever you need. And humans as well. Let's say you want to get the roguish good looks of Leonardo DiCaprio. Well, it just so happens that Leonardo DiCaprio has put his DNA on file. So, on request, you can have Leonardo DiCaprio's heart printed and put on a dinner table for you. You can eat a sautéed Leonardo DiCaprio heart at your local restaurant whenever you desire, so that you can gain his roguish good looks. Let's say you want to get a bit of diplomatic prowess. They've got hearts through history. Go eat Winston Churchill's heart. Go eat Charlie Chaplin's heart if you want some acting chops and a stylish moustache. Any artist you can think of, any scientist, any sports person, anyone you can think of, you can print their biomaterial and consume it for your own use. Scorpio, this is a limited time offer. Biotech Conglom Org is offering a sale on Thursday the 2nd of August only. Scorpio, whose biomaterial will you consume? Whose superpowers do you hope to gain? Scorpio, I'll pitch to you one option. Scorpio, you could give your own DNA. You could print your own heart. You could consume your own flesh to compound your own powers. You have the option of making yourself more of yourself. And it's up to you, Scorpio, if you think that's a good idea. Sagittarius. So you know how you get those little floaties in your eye sometimes? Just out of, like, your vision, when you blink, you might get a little floating filament passing across your vision. It's like a little piece of dust or a little wayward cell or a little grain of something that just wanders across your eyeball, and you just get this little shape that passes around on your vision. You know those? Normally they're just little sort of strings of nothing, just little random shapes. But Sagittarius, tomorrow, on Thursday the 2nd of August, you're going to notice patterns in these shapes. They're not going to be random, abstract, and meaningless. They're going to look suspiciously like letters? You're going to convince yourself it's nothing at first. When you see an O, I mean, that could be nothing. When you see an I, that's just a line, but when you see a perfectly shaped letter E with the right angles and everything, you realize that your eye is spelling a message to you. It's like a Ouija board, one letter at a time passing across your eyes. What does it spell out, Sagittarius? What's your eye telling you? And what does your eye see? What does your eye know? Are you friends with your eye, Sagittarius? Have you been looking after your eye? Will your eye look after you? What kind of message is it sending, Sagittarius? Capricorn. On Thursday the 2nd of August, you will discover that you are a deity. You're a god. You're worshipped by a group of people who exist in this sort of pocket dimension. It's hard to explain. But on this sort of distant planet, there's this group of aliens who watch your every move by means that you don't understand, but they pay very close attention to your breakfast habits, your clothing choices, your dental hygiene, just the basic minutiae of your life. And they consider these to be of great portent. Like, you know how the Romans or whoever used to study the entrails of birds to divine the future? Well, this civilization of aliens, they use your movements to predict their future in much the same way that we're using the movement of heavenly bodies to describe your astronomical future. Astrological. But the point is that you should probably put more attention into the finer points of your life because, well, they're paying attention. And it matters to them a lot. No part of your life is as insignificant as you think it is, Capricorn. Because these pocket aliens, their cities rise and fall on the whims of your breakfast cereal choice. So Capricorn, think carefully about the consequences of your actions next time you eat Cheerios. Aquarius, you like to think of yourself as a unique individual. We all do. But statistics, being what it is, begs to differ. There's 7 billion people on the planet, and more every day, which means that there's other people like you. There's a bunch. There's whole clubs. You could fill convention centers with yous. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. It just means that you're a sequel. Not every movie is an original work. Not every movie is an original IP. Sometimes there's things that are based on others. You're based on your parents, on your ancestors, the cultural forerunners you follow. You're drawn from others. You follow others. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Some sequels are good. I mean, think Terminator 2, Aliens 2. Sometimes the sequels are far better than the originals. And of course, you know, it's not about better. It's just about contextualizing yourself as part of a long line of others. Everyone wants to think of themselves as the blockbuster first in the series, but we can't all lay down a legacy. We are all part of a series, of a franchise. You can't ever hope to be a singular, standout, lone thing. You wouldn't want to be a standout, singular, lone thing. But you can hope to be one of the better loved or more positive parts of the franchise you're in. So just try to be more like Terminator 2 than like Terminator 5. That's all. Pisces. You know that song that keeps getting stuck in your head? On and off for like months now. This one tune just been banging away inside your skull over and over when you're trying to sleep. When you close your eyes for a moment on the train, you hear this same melody every time. And it's driving you mad because you can't work out where you've heard it. You've even tried like Shazam and all of those awful apps and things. You've tried singing the song into a microphone to try and get someone, anyone, to recognize it. No one seems to know what this tune is. Here's the thing, Pisces. You didn't hear that song somewhere else. You composed it. In your head. You're the original creator of this original tune. And it's great. I mean, it's catchy. Even the people who you've hummed this tune to frantically in the hopes of them recognizing it, they now have it stuck in their head. It's spreading. This tune, this melody is a meme that's spreading out across your little social sphere. And I'm telling you, eventually, some recording artist, some record label is gonna hear it. And I guarantee you that if you don't put it on the top of the Billboard 100, they will. This is your original composition, and I suggest you stake your claim while you can. Get your music out there before it's claimed by someone else. Because trust me, I know you can't go to IP court and tell Lady Gaga that you wrote all of her top three classic hits. I mean, you can't just hum into them. The judge will just send you, like, I know. It doesn't work. So, Pisces, stake your claim. Ophiuchus. So, you heard the news about those Thai children. That soccer team, those boys who ventured into a cave and didn't return. There was this whole news cycle devoted to it. Everyone was obsessed with the story of the Thai kids in the cave. It was inspiring, uniting. People all over the world watched the rescue efforts to rescue these boys and their coach in the cave. And to the surprise of everyone, to the joy, we got some good news. Very recently, we saw the footage of all of the boys and their coach emerging, blinking into the sunlight after a week in the darkness. It was considered a success, a triumph. Everyone went home, went with their families. But some of the family members have reported something feeling off. They were told to treat their boys gently, not to overstrain them, but they might be behaving in a disturbed way. Their psychology might be affected by their time spent in the dark. But one of the relatives, one of the mothers of one of the boys, has reportedly been deeply concerned about this boy who returned to her from the cave. So one night, out of curiosity, morbid interest, who could say, the woman went out to the cave where her son spent that dark week. She descended, followed the footsteps that the boy followed to entrap himself with his friends. She goes deep into the cave with only the light of her mobile phone to guide her way. She knows this is stupid. The same floods that trapped her son could trap her, but she keeps going deeper into the darkness, down where the walls are slick. And down deep into the cave, she finds an open cavern, an underground sea full of briny, salty water, blind fish, frogs that don't croak. And out on the water, she sees something floating on the water. She takes a bunch of photos. She can't see properly in the darkness, but she takes a bunch of photos of this weird mass floating. And then eventually she gets her senses returned to her. She realizes the danger she's exposing herself to, so she leaves the cave. But a week later, she looks back at the photos that she took. She plays around in Photoshop to try and increase the brightness, color correction, all of that sort of stuff. Enhance, she says. She finally gets a brighter, clearer shot of that strange mass that was floating on the water. But she zooms in and she sees, to her shock, human bodies floating on that lake in the cave. Arms and legs, heads gaping lidlessly. She zooms in on one of the faces, and her heart stops. Because it's her son. Her son died in that cave. All of those Thai boys, the coach, they all died in that cave. They all drowned weeks ago. So who is the boy in her house? Who is this strange child? Thank you for listening to the Random Article Horoscope for Thursday, the 2nd of August, 2018. We'll probably do more of these, and if it gets a meaningful number of views or something, we'll probably make it a podcast. That'll be fun. We can keep doing this. It's good, isn't it? Keep these portents in mind for your Thursday, the 2nd of August. Remember to carry the one, and have a good day.